Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 27th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray our time together will be a time of healing and renewal for all of us. So let's begin. Our custom and practice around the podcast is to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving, to give thanks to God. And we celebrate God's goodness in our life by taking in the breath of life. So do just that. Take in a breath. And then take in another breath and hold on to it for a moment. Cherish that breath. Savor it. It is the breath of life. It is a gift from our good God. And as you breathe in and as you exhale, pay attention to that pattern of taking in and letting go. And as you find that you can relax a little bit, call to mind those things that light you up inside, those things that might just bring a smile to your face, the people in your life that are precious, your favorite places, those things that you cherish as special gifts of God. Call all those to mind. Think about the faces and the names and the places, the opportunities. Hold them in your hands. Hold your hands before you, open and hold them as if presenting them to God. To put them down if necessary, to let them go if necessary, but to hold them in the light of God's love. And give thanks to God for all of it. All of the love, all of the special places, all of the opportunities, these things that are unique and precious gifts given to you by our good God. And in this posture and in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join me in the prayer of invocation as printed in your digital bulletin. You can see that bulletin over to the left of where you found the podcast. Right below the line there, you'll see that tab that says Sermon Notes. You click inside there and the bulletin will come up for you. And let's begin. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, seeking your mercy and grace. Open our hearts to your presence as we gather in your name. Just as you heard the desperate cry of the blind man and brought him healing, we ask that you listen to our voices as we call upon you. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. You are the source of all healing and hope. As Bartimaeus cast aside his cloak to meet you, help us to lay down our burdens, our distractions, and our fears, that we may come to you with faith and expectancy. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move among us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see your truth. Stir in us the boldness to seek you relentlessly, as Bartimaeus did, trusting in your power to restore and renew. Grant us the faith to believe that you can do all things according to your perfect will. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Thank you. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Mark's gospel in the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you and we give you thanks. We thank you, dear Lord, for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. And as we take a moment to reflect on this, your good word, we pray your presence be with us, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would incline our thinking toward you, so we could truly hear what this word is saying to us, how it's healing us and guiding us, directing us and protecting us. Save us from distraction, so that we might truly receive the gift of this good word. We pray this in your name and we say, Amen. Friends, the lectionary blesses us with this reading from Mark here in the 10th chapter, the story of blind Bartimaeus. A story of blind Bartimaeus, but read it and then read it again and read it a third time and you'll see that it's a story about you and a story about me. It's a story about all of us. It is such a human story. It is an invitation that we get to be with Jesus and the disciples and these crowds as Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem. Mark's gospel begins in the region of the Galilee, and then it transitions in these middle chapters to the traveling and the teaching and the preaching and the healing as he and the disciples make their way to Jerusalem. In the culmination of this gospel story. But today, the passage that we get begins as they're approaching Jericho. Again, if we've been around the Bible for a little bit, that should ring a bell. Jericho, the story of Joshua and the Israelites faithfully marching around the city of Jericho every day, once a day, with the Ark of the Covenant, marching around the city at the command of God, and then on the seventh day, marching around seven times and blowing trumpets until the walls of that city come down. Because at the obedience of the Israelites and the presence of God, those walls could not stand. That's in the air as they come to Jericho. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, I guess just passing through, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside, which sets up this beautiful few passages of Scripture that are so rich. So they come to this ancient and storied city, this crowd with their rabbi, the one they're amazed by, the one they're perplexed by, the one they're enraged by. Who knows who all is in this crowd, but it's all there. And this crowd makes its approach to Jericho. How long they stay, we're not exactly sure, but they know as they are traveling toward Jerusalem, they pass through Jericho and they have this encounter. Well, this blind beggar, this Bartimaeus, gets word that it is Jesus that is coming. He cannot see it with his eyes clearly, but he can hear the commotion. He can feel the rustling and the rumbling. And I don't know if this is the place where Bartimaeus always sits and begs, but the parade route seems to be coming right by him. And perhaps he asks a stranger in the crowd, who is it? Who is it? What's all the commotion about? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This blind beggar, this one that people cross the street to avoid, or perhaps they dig into their pocket and give him a little something as they feel obligated. This one who is most days invisible or avoided, somehow he knows. He's heard the stories of Jesus, and has he had it in his heart that maybe one day, even I, Bartimaeus, as I sit here and beg, helpless and hopeless in my blindness, maybe one day Jesus might just pass by? Well, today is that day. Has he been praying for this moment, visualizing it, envisioning it, that he, this blind beggar of Jericho, might actually have an encounter with the Jesus, the one he's heard, can perform miracles? Well, the crowd says that this is Jesus, and indeed he is passing by, and this is his moment, and he's not going to waste it. So he shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Somehow he has clarity, and he knows that Jesus can help him. Jesus can heal him. But the crowd, the polite ones among them, the more established ones, those who have sight and can go about daily life feeling more self-assured and in control, this crowd sees the one that they normally avoid and are maybe even slightly embarrassed by. They try to shut him up. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. Would you zip it? Do you know who's coming? Huh? A little etiquette here, please, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is having none of it, because he says even louder in his heart, this is my moment, Son of David, have mercy on me. And maybe he's waving his arms, he's doing everything he can to be noticed, and he's noticed. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. Anyone, who is this guy? I admire his spirit. Call him here. And they called him here. They called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. And that's all Bartimaeus needs to know. This is it. This is the moment. And there's this wonderful, energized movement. He throws off his cloak and he springs up and he came to Jesus. And now it gets intimate. In the midst of all the crowd and all the anticipation, Mark focuses us in. It's just the two of them. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. It's powerful. And it calls us to read it. Read it and take in the storyline. Read it. Read the plot. Read the narrative. Read the story of a place then and there of a poor blind man who has an encounter with Jesus and he's healed. Imagine the flannel graph board you did in Sunday school. That's the first reading. And then the second reading is the deeper reading. The reading that calls you to pay attention. A little of what we just did. Oh, they came to Jericho. I remember Jericho. I understand that. That's an important city in the story of the people of Israel. I'm going to keep reading here. Jesus, son of David. David, the great king. That the Messiah would be in the line of David. Would be the presence of God himself among the people. Oh, wait a minute. Jericho, didn't they march around the city with the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God? Jesus, son of David, the presence of God has returned to Jericho. Now it's building. Now the movement of God, we can see it. We can see it on the page and we can read it between the lines. And then we hear this boldness. Someone whom the rest of society ignores knows it's their moment. He has nothing to lose. His ego was crushed a long time ago. It's just Bartimaeus and Jesus and the deep desire to be at the mercy of the one he knows to be Messiah, son of David. And he's given an audience with him. And he asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says to him, "Teacher, I just want to see again." Now we see the movement of God. Now we see that these are ancient promises being fulfilled in the presence of this crowd, being poured out on this one individual who responds in faith, and that faith brings him healing. In response to the healing is the following. Jesus says, "Go," and "go" for Bartimaeus, now healed, means follow. And before I go on too long, I want to draw your attention back to verse 49. I keep looking at this thinking there's something for all of us to use as a daily devotional. I'll read the whole verse. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, and this is the part I really want us to take in. They say to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." This is for all of us. It is the encouragement of this crowd that in one moment is telling this guy to shut up, and now they realize Jesus has got his eyes fixed on him, so now he's VIP, and they're nudging him, and they say, take heart. This is that third level of reading. This is where I want you to place yourself in the story. This is, I believe, Mark calling out to us and saying, we're all Bartimaeus. We're all Bartimaeus. We're all blind beggars. We try our best, but we're ultimately dependent on grace and charity and compassion. Take heart. Friends, take heart. Now is not a time to lose hope. Take heart. And as you take heart, as you breathe in and take heart, get your courage up, then get up as best you're able. Sit up, stand up, square your shoulders. Some of the stuff we do at the beginning of the podcast with the breathing and the focusing, get up. He is calling you. If you're in this moment considering this story from this gospel at this time, you and I in this moment together, he's calling you. He's calling me and he's calling you. He's saying, spring up. Cast off that cloak, whatever you got wrapped around you, drop it and come to me. And then as you and I are eyelash to eyelash, reconciled face to face, tell me what you want me to do for you. And sometimes it's this matter of fact. I want to see. I want my eyes to work again. And his eyes work again. Then there are times when he asks that question, like he did just earlier on in chapter 10, when James and John have something they want to ask of him, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? They want positions of power. And he's willing to give them status in the kingdom of heaven. But he tells them, I'll give you what you want, but I don't know that you really know what you're asking for. Because to be great in the kingdom of heaven is to serve. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. As soon as this podcast finished, or I tell you what, you know, during the pastoral prayer, I always make a little empty space. In that empty space, let's commit to one another that we'll listen to him as he says, what do you want me to do for you? You examine your heart and don't pretend that he doesn't know what you need, and just ask. Tell him what you need. Maybe it's the exact same prayer request that Bartimaeus has. My teacher, let me see again. Help me to see the world the way you see it. Help me to see my life the way you see it. Open my eyes. My eyes, the eyes of my spirit, so that I could walk in your way, love the way you love, speak truth the way you speak, even all the way to Jerusalem, even all the way to the cross. Can you imagine what it was like for this blind beggar, forgotten by the world around him, to be touched and healed by Jesus? To be able to see not only with his eyes, but with his heart and in his soul as he followed along the way to Jerusalem, taking in every sight, every sound, understanding that every vision was a gift from his Lord. True for him, true for us, and eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. God, we come to this moment of prayer so that we could recognize that you are not just passing by, but you are present. You are here with us right now. You, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of David, Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is to you we humbly pray. And we confess, God, we have sinned, we have fallen short, we miss the mark, we get off track and distracted, but we know it. And knowing it now, we call out to you and we claim the promise of faith that when we are honest with ourselves, we can call to you and ask for your forgiveness and your healing, that we could get up and you would dust us off and we could continue to follow in the way. We thank you for that forgiveness. It's a precious and eternal gift. There are things that are on our hearts, O God, for this good world of yours. All of your children. And it seems, as we survey the headlines, as we read the news, there doesn't seem to be very much of it that is good. We need your healing. We need your grace and your peace. In particular, we pray upon those who have their hands on the levers of power. Convict them, O God. Show them who they are. Forgive them. Open their eyes so that they could see what it is they've done and what they need to do to repent and make things right. God, I pray for all of your children, all of us, for our friends and neighbors, the people that we meet on the street or at the store or in traffic, just all of us trying to make our way through, get through every day. We need your help. Some of us recognize how much we need your help. Others need a little help understanding our need for you. But we're certain that you love all of us. And in the ways that you have commissioned us and called us to go out and be salt and light and grace and peace to the world, fill us, renew us with that calling. Equip us, O Lord. And as we just thought about during the homily, time and again, you ask those who come to you, what do you want me to do for you? And so on behalf of this congregation, God, I make space for everyone listening to come to you with that question on their heart, to present it to you. So friends, come to our good God through his Son, our Lord Jesus, through the gift and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and tell him, as he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? Have the faith and the courage to simply tell him what you need him to do for you. And we break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet and your presence with us in the midst of peace and quiet. We pray you'll hear us as we celebrate a prayer that Jesus taught us. A prayer that goes by his name. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so inspired, paying attention for the presence of God with us, a God who calls us into his presence, a God who invites us to tell him exactly what it is we need him to do for us, and to faithfully expect that God will answer us. in ways that heal us and glorify God. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you in this moment and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.